Now, a much more graphic and much more hammer type experiment, Herb, happened actually by accident in Mexico as a consequence of some charitable work by a foundation in the United States who wanted to help the economy of Mexico. And so they made money available, and an agrochemical company, an agrochemical corporation, got some of that money, bought the Yaqui Valley in Sonora, Mexico, with the intention of producing winter fruits and vegetables for the U.S. market. This valley that they bought, this, the Yaqui Valley, was populated by Native Americans of Inca descent, actually. And they, when they arrived there, they said, "We'd like to pay you well to work in the fields. We're going to be growing fruits and vegetables for the winter market in the U.S. We'll be making lots of money. We'll give you lots of money. And by the way, we're also going to be spraying in the fields about once a week or maybe every other week." And half the population said, "No, thank you," and they moved lock, stock, and barrel up the mountain, leaving their relatives and friends back behind them. Now, what happened as a consequence when they started growing and spraying was that the women in the valley began to develop breast cancer in very significant numbers. But that wasn't why they invited Dr. Elizabeth Gillette and her Mexican colleagues to come into the valley, because what they really were concerned about was the children in the valley were different. And they wanted to know why and whether it was just simply something going on or what was happening. And so Dr. Gillette and her colleagues decided to evaluate preschool children to rule out the possibility of economic effects, giving them better education in the valley and so on. So they came in and they began to evaluate the kids, and they had them, the two populations of kids, do different tasks. They had them try to drop clothespins in a bottle. And the kids up on the mountains could hit the bottle inside every time, but the other kids from the valley almost never could get it into the bottle. They had them jump rope. The kids up in the mountains jumped and jumped and jumped. The kids down in the valley had about three spins, and they were exhausted. They had them walk a balance beam, and the kids in the valley couldn't walk the balance beam. It was like they were drunk. But they did another thing that anybody can understand right away. They asked the children in both places to draw a human figure. And here are the human figures that were drawn by kids up in the mountains who were unexposed. And you got your typical features of facial features, digits on the hands and feet. This is what you expect from 4- and 5-year-olds. What you can't see is they started at the top and they worked down when they did their drawings. The kids from the valley, however, who were exposed, drew these figures. And I asked Dr. Gillette, "Well, isn't this kind of extreme?" And she said, "No, these are the typical drawings that we got." She said, "I asked this child here, where's the top?" And they pointed here. "Where's the bottom?" And they pointed here. And they start at the bottom and they work to the top. I have a sister who's an occupational therapist, and when I showed her these drawings, tears came to her eyes. She works with disadvantaged children in the Chicago area, and she said, "I've never seen such neurological devastation. These children are unlikely to ever form normal social relationships." And in fact, these children here who were exposed are very tactile defensively. If you happen to accidentally touch them from behind, they'll whirl around and attack you like you were threatening their life. There are also further things that are happening, because this was published in 1998 in Environmental Health Perspectives. Now they have reached puberty, and the valley teen boys have mammary tissue in their tender breasts, whereas the girls have only fat in their breasts. And so if push comes to shove and they have kids, it could be the boys who would nurse the children, not the girls. The children's mothers in the valley have had very high rates of breast cancer, and they continue to. And it's important that we take a point of what this experiment, this natural experiment was, and ask ourselves, what will our children's future be? And there's a hint. How much are we spending on remedial education? I can tell you in the Madison School District that we are spending more on reading, on remedial education than we are on reading, writing, arithmetic, and that was true in 1997. Could learning abilities in humans be altered by an herbicide? Paul Winchester, who is director of neonatology at St. Francis Hospital and Healthcare Centers in Indianapolis, looked into this because he sees a lot of premature babies with problems. And one of the things he began to ask was, if they're conceived and if they're exposed early, if we have high levels of atrazine, for example, in groundwater here, does that impact on how they function in terms of math and language skills when they reach high school? And here's this graph of what those ISTEP scores are like depending on when they were conceived. And as you can see, what happens when the concentration of pesticides are high is that the intellectual properties of those students are altered when they reach high school.